We've been involved in a study that we've entitled How to Survive a Sermon. And the whole purpose is this, to help understand what the role of the hearer is in the process of communicating. Session 5 tonight, we're going to do one more next week to wrap up. Century, you are well aware that this is not the only venue in which you can. Or are aware of outside of the live setting. On the television. Your white headphones and listen. Any what other ways? Yes, ma'am. CDs, put it in there. And some of you might even remember the days when we had tapes. We were actually dealing with some of that earlier today. Yes. Yes, sir. What else? In print? Yes. Maybe not as common, but certainly it is. And a lot of if you go to the Christian bookstore, a lot of the Bible teaching themes from people that you and I know, originally those were sermon series. Those were preached. And some of them, some of the more well-renowned and well-known preachers, they just preach, and there's somebody else that takes all that text and puts it in book form for them. So real time saver if you have that kind of help. But nonetheless, that's in print. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, small groups do that way. Yes, absolutely. Well, yeah, it can just take place on the street as well. The reason I mention all of those and just bring you into that is with all these options, there is really no shortage of preaching opportunities or receiving preaching opportunities. But we can get it through the satellite, we can get it through the internet, we can get it through the airwaves. And it seems like there's more and more methods to be able to be able to do that. But as we think about, now I'm not at all criticizing those means. We use many of those means. So I'm not. We're on the radio, every Sunday. We do the internet stuff. It's all out there. It's all archived. So we do that. But do you think that you lose something if you only hear preaching outside of the live context? I got one oh yes. Okay, thank you. Anyone else want to oh yes with our sister over here? Okay. What's the difference? Interaction? Inflection? Yeah, all your senses. And there is, in some sense, when you're in a group, there is a collective sense of receiving a reaction or that sort of thing. Yeah, what, anything else? Atmosphere, absolutely. And and then in the live setting, usually preaching is not divorced, as we've talked in recent days, from the rest of the service. We've had singing, we've given, we've prayed, we've lifted our voices in praise, we've fellowshiped with our friends in the body of Christ, and we have that setting. It's almost, I think, kind of a festive setting in which to then turn our mind to that. There is one more, and this is really what's going to drive our study today when you think about the preaching. We've already listed how those many means of delivery, but one of the things that is missing in the non-live setting is the ability to know the person that's preaching to you. To have, in some sense, a relationship with that person. There's a lot of people that I have and still do listen to, whether it be on the radio or over the internet or even on TV on occasion. They come into my device through my headphones. I've never met them. Now, what they're teaching is the truth, I believe, and you take that in doing good work, but I don't know that person. I can't go up to them and say, now, I just didn't quite understand that. Could you help me with this? Or maybe it's a question unrelated to what's preaching. And there's also this, and I'm not trying to be ultra skeptical here. So I'm not bashing TV preachers or in that kind of stuff. I'm really not. When it's a person that lives in the community and we're part of the community of believers, you don't know everything about that person, but you do know something about the quality of their life. The person on TV, how do they treat people in society? How do they treat their spouse? How do they raise their kids? How do they? Whose lifestyle is perfect. We're all a work in progress. So we understand that. But there has to be something. I can relate to that. So that's what I want to talk about. Now, when I was originally doing possibly help me out. Part of this research project. So I did a survey. And it was about 67 questions related to this particular thing. But in the survey, I asked this question, three different answers. Is it important to you to personally know the preacher you are listening to? That was the question. Is it important to you to personally know the preacher to whom you're listening? The three possible answers were, it's not important to know the preacher. 12% answered that. It's a value to do that. Also, there was a second question that was kind of asked in reverse and so forth. And there were some other questions that weren't related to this topic. When we're done next week, if you're interested in all of this in written form, which is pretty much covering what we've covered these 6 weeks, I'll tell you how you can get a copy, how you can download a copy if you'd like and get into that. So I think if we did a survey today, there's no way to do it quickly and easily in this group setting. But I would imagine most of us would answer very similarly. I could still be receiving instruction and encouragement from someone I don't know, but it's certainly preferable, bordering on really, really very preferable to know that person, to have that kind of relationship. And we understand it. Oftentimes in small group settings, I'll ask people this question just to kind of get discussion started, to ask the question, who is the teacher that made the most impact on you during your time in school? Almost everybody can immediately identify a person, you know, what grade it was and maybe what subject they taught, whether it be in college or high school or elementary school, it doesn't really matter. And then this follow-up question is this. Why did that person make such an impact on you? I have never had anyone say, because they really knew the subject. Rarely does anyone say they were a really good teacher. Now, maybe they were, and probably they were, but usually it's you know, they really showed an interest in me. They really helped me. They really cared. All the impact relates back to a relationship, usually when that question is answered. There was something that teacher that did was over and above just the, here's the book, here's the data, here's the test. They really seemed to care and pour themselves into your lives. You can just kind of imagine if that's true for you or not, if you want to just bring up your favorite teacher and smile for a moment while you're here. So I think it's important for us, and that's why I there are a few people that I meet, maybe you've met them too, that just say, you know, I really don't need the church. I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian, but I really don't need the church. And when I need teaching, I can just get the remote control out and point it at the box, and I can get the teaching delivered right to my house. I don't need this setting. Well, the fact that you've come tonight, I guess it's pretty safe bet that you've rejected that. But even for the people that say they buy into that philosophy, by and large, I think that is a statement that's masquerading as something else. Most of the people say, I really don't need that. I'll just stay and watch Dr. Somebody on the TV. There's usually another issue besides just like saying that's sufficient. There's something else. Maybe they were hurt. Maybe they're really not committed. Maybe they're not really a believer and they're just trying to throw you off. I mean, any of those are possibilities. So there is something very good about this, having this connection. Now, I also understand that when you're in a church and you have a preacher, and if that case is me, all of you in this room, we have different levels of relationship. Some of you know me a little better, and some of you know, some of you we've had interaction. Some of you I've visited in the hospital, or there's been an issue that we've gone through. You get to know people in the course of life. Some of us, we've just not had that opportunity to spend time together. But I think it's even more than how much opportunity. I hope you know, that there at least is availability. Now, maybe I'm not going to come pouncing on you, but if you need me, you can get a hold of me. I don't just preach on Sunday and then vanish into the fog for the other 6 days. So, I mean, we can have this. So at least we have this availability, and that's part of the important things we want to talk about tonight. Now, let's get to the scriptures to try to just think about this. So remember, we've talked about these. We're going to finish the chart tonight. That'll be the last thing we do. But we've talked about these areas of responsibility. One of the areas of responsibility is to be able to have this two-way relationship, personal relationship, as best it can be in the group setting, between the person speaking and the person receiving and vice versa. Go to, if you will, Matthew 28, beginning at verse 18. This is the Great Commission passage. We know it very well. But this is the starting point of ministry and one of the tools that God has made as part of this ministry, obviously, is the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. This, of course, is the last chapter of Matthew. It is after Christ has been resurrected. He's been crucified, buried, resurrected, and now he is meeting with the disciples. Verse 18, Matthew 28. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples. We start with that statement. Go, therefore, and make disciples. If you want to know what the product is that the church is manufacturing, that's it. It's making disciples. Now, he expands it, make disciples of all the nations. Part of how that takes place is the end of the verse, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, bringing them to Christ, helping them to identify with Christ. Verse 20, very important. This is where it overlaps the preaching component. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Teaching those commands of the Lord, teaching those truths of Scripture. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So the making of disciples, we're going to look at in a couple more verses, necessitates there be some sort of a relationship. And that is why this setting in the local church, in the live setting, is vital. That doesn't mean that if you have teaching that supplements that, if you listen to somebody on television, radio, internet, podcast, that's preaching the truth, go for it. But don't ever let that be a substitute for the genuine article. If you will, make your way over to Luke chapter 2 for just a moment. This is the story when Jesus is 12 years of age, and you remember his parents lost him for a reasonable period of time. They've gone a day's journey from Jerusalem after Jesus at 12 had gone with them. They head back to Galilee, and when they get ready to set up camp for the night, I thought you had him. Well, neither of us have him, and he's not among all the family and so forth. They go back to Jerusalem. They search for him. And here in Acts 2, and we're going to pick it up in verse 46. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, that's his parents, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, Why? Is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" So this was somewhat instructive to Mary and Joseph, that God's call was upon him. He was on God's mission. But the part I want to get back to is verse 46. This was the common way the rabbis taught. They would gather, and there would be a question asked, answers given, back and forth, sharing. It was in an interactive, relational setting. Now flash forward a few more years when Jesus is now doing his ministry, and he is going to call some disciples around him, and he follows, in essence, that same rabbinic, the pattern of the rabbis, in his teaching. If you will, make your way to Mark. Mark chapter 3. You're going to have your fingers all limbered up before we're done. Chapter 3 and verse 14. Very interesting verse about how we are developed. And you know, Christ preached to multitudes. Christ preached to groups. Everywhere he went, he was teaching and preaching. Remember, he taught with authority and all those things. So he was certainly a preacher and a teacher. But from the multitudes, verse 14, then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and they might send them out to preach. Notice this process of gathering this smaller group together so that they can have this genuine relationship, and then they're going to be sent out to carry on the work, which they did after Christ ascended back to heaven. But notice the key words in verse 14. He appointed 12 that they might be, notice what it doesn't say, that they might be in classrooms together, that they may have a curriculum together, that they study together, that they have a textbook. A lot of growing to do too. Yes, I have the opportunity to teach and to have that role, but we're in this thing together, all right? And we are sharing this learning process together. So he appointed these 12 that they might be with him, that it required that the follower be with the teacher, that there be some sort of a relationship. Get my notes here. I want you to look at the Luke chapter 6. Look those up. They're on your sheet there. It's 1 Corinthians 4:16 and 2 Thessalonians 3:7-9. Both of those are quotes from the epistle where, I'll just read you 1 Corinthians 4:16 here real quickly because I've got it in front of me. It says this, Therefore I urge you to imitate me. In 11:1 of 1 Corinthians says, be imitators of me just as I am also of Christ. Paul said, if you want to live Christ, just imitate me. So it's important for us to continue to build relationship and to know the person that is teaching you, and that is essential. Now, here it comes down to what I'm just going to call the both sides. Here's both parts of it. Both the preacher and the hearer must be open to genuine relationships. We should leave the door open for each other. However that works out, however that happens. Now, turn your sheet over. And on the back, here's the chart. We've been building this week after week after week. Now, I just want to go through all the responsibilities we've identified from the Word of God for the responsibility to hear. In the area of the heart,